And one broken down truck right now. It's on the Buckman Bridge going into Orange Park on the right side of the highway. Lots of fog. In fact, we can barely make out visibility on the traffic cams, how bad the backup may be there. No problems at I-95, I-10, or Butler Boulevard. A foggy start to the day will turn into a cloudy afternoon with a 50-50 chance of rain. 77 degrees the expected high. Fog expected this evening with a low of 63. Currently at 66 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is $1.92 a gallon. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And while the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. We're starting the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be here till 9. This is the Ed Dean Show on WBOB, broadcasting live from Jacksonville, Florida, the best city in the world, my hometown. This is Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. I am pinch hitting for Ed today to close out 2018. With me in the studio is attorney Ron Davis. Glad to have you here, Ron.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Looking ahead to 2019, closing out 2018. And look, let's take a look at some winners and losers. Who do you see as the big winners and losers politically at a national, state, local level here for 2018 as we put a bow on it?
Nationally, collectively, the Senate.
Okay.
The Republican Senate. Okay. I think they owe the pickup of the two seats with the way that they handled the Kavanaugh hearing process.
Mm-hmm.
I think up to that point, the Republicans were probably looking at a really bad result on both sides of the aisle, both sides of the Senate and the House. They put some fire in the Republicans' belly. So I think the winners are the Republican Senate. I think as a result of those wins, Trump's policies in terms of any appointments that he wants to come through are going to go through a lot easier than they would have this time last year. Losers, O'Rourke down in Texas. I don't know how you spend $80 million and say you come out of that looking good, but somehow he seems to be a front runner for the Democrats. I just the amount of money that was spent on a race that they really never had any chance is just amazing.
Looking at it, to my big winner, at least in Florida, is Rick Scott. I think he had a great year, not just beating Bill Nelson, but in terms of bringing, you know, putting a icing on the cake. The way he was able to lead Florida's economy, 3.3% unemployment, record number for tourism, a very good year for the Sunshine State. And he was able to beat Bill Nelson, who had been, you know, in Florida politics for the better part of 4.5 decades. To me, the big losers are two Wisconsin Republicans. Scott Walker, who had been a presidential candidate in 2016, kind of a folk hero for Republicans for his efforts against state employees and their public pensions, trying to get raises. And the other one is Paul Ryan. Look, Paul Ryan should be, you know, after Mitt Romney plucked him out to be the vice presidential candidate in 2012, part of the House leadership, House Budget Committee chairman, Paul Ryan was well positioned to be the leader of Gen X Republicans. And, you know, frankly, he left the speakership poorly. I mean, he didn't do a very good job. Maybe part of it was the hangover from John Boehner. You have conservatives who don't trust the leadership. You have maybe too much of a coalition. And frankly, 40 Republicans, you know, that kind of swing. It was that much of a swing as Democrats flipped the House. Nancy Pelosi is coming back once again. So to me, Ryan is to me my big loser politically.
Yeah. I can see that. Scott Walker was my number one choice when he was running. He was the field of 17.
So I was the one person, when they ever asked who you support, I'm that one guy who said Bobby Jindal, which kept Bobby Jindal from being zero to the asterisk.
And I liked him. I thought he did a phenomenal job in Louisiana.
He did.
Yeah. But from my perspective, Walker, what he had gone through.
Yeah.
He had fought the unions. He had fought the party. He had fought the recall. And he survived.
Absolutely.
And I thought, this is a guy that's tested. This is the guy the Republicans need. And his fizzling out during that campaign just absolutely kind of shocked me. I wonder how much his loss. I mean, there's a Scott fatigue. I think there was a sense that when he won that recall, that the voters weren't saying, we actually like you, but what we think is being done to you is wrong. Mm. You got Rince Priebus that was gone. I mean, he was a big player in the Wisconsin politics. So I don't know if maybe some money dried up in Wisconsin that had been there before with his connections, him being chair of the Republican Party, and sure. so on and so forth. So, you know, I hate to say he's a loser. I just wonder if it might be more of a fatigue.
Yeah.
That's possible. I will say, by stripping power away from the governorship, which is exactly what the Republicans in the legislature and Walker did after he lost, I'm curious to see if there's going to be a voter pushback against Republicans in Wisconsin. That's, I think, something to be very concerned, because look, let's be very candid. I think Wisconsin is a state Donald Trump needs in 2020. It's certainly going to be one of the swing states. And look, as I noted in the last hour, there aren't many offensive opportunities for Trump. Maybe New Hampshire, which is a weird state to begin with politically, maybe Minnesota. They did pick up two congressional seats there. But look, Minnesota has traditionally been pretty deep blue. Yes, you can see your occasional Tim Pawlenty there. Yes, it voted for Bush, I think, once, maybe twice in those presidential elections, you know, earlier in the century. But it's not exactly red-leaning territory. I mean, Minnesota, there's that weird streak. Jesse Ventura, enough said. But, that's kind of their limited opportunities for offense. Republicans will be playing defense in 2020 in Ohio. Well, Ohio, certainly, Florida, certainly. But I think the front lines are going to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and increasingly Arizona. I think that's what we're going to be looking at. So it's kind of weird. Florida may not be the swing state in 2020 like we always associated it with. It's still important, don't get me wrong. And I don't see Trump getting a second term without it. But I don't think Florida's a must-have for the Democrats. I really don't.
I think the big winner for 2018, Donald Trump. And the reason why is that the U.S. Senate has gone even more Republican than it was before. That basically creates a firewall against an impeachment conviction, because that issue was looming. And I think that, you know, if the Democratic House of Representatives decide they want to go down that right, there's no way they're going to get past his firewall in the U.S. Senate now because of the pickups in the U.S. Senate.
I don't think I'd put Trump as a winner. I won't put him as a loser like most of the national media. I can't put him as a winner, though, because, I mean, a 40-seat swing. And that's not small potatoes. Mm-hmm. I think seeing that kind of swing in the House kind of prevents me from saying Trump's one of the winners. I wouldn't put him as a loser, though. And I think that's, unfortunately, where a lot of the national media is putting him. Well, Trump had a big loss this year. These are bad weeks. I don't see that as the case. I think Trump was able to get Kavanaugh through. Yeah, there were some problems. The economy has remained pretty strong. But I don't, you know, I think the House losses kind of precludes me from making him one of the big winners of the year.
Okay, fair enough. On the state level, I have to go with Ron DeSantis as the big winner. And the reason why is that when people don't expect you to win and you end up winning, I think that's a bigger win than if people were saying, okay, it's a given.
Yeah, and to me, it wasn't just beating Gillum. Uh-huh. It was beating Adam Putnam. Look, Adam Putnam had basically spending 8 years running for this job. Very solid agriculture commissioner. Longtime congressman. Yes, he's only 45 or so, but he had been in the House forever, it seems, part of the Republican leadership team under George W. Bush, a guy who was well-positioned to be the next governor of the state of Florida. And DeSantis not only beat him, but beat him handily in the primary. Absolutely. And I think that just shows, look, Trump may not be a winner nationally, but Trump was absolutely a winner at the state level. You know, we were talking about this off the air. Trump came in to help DeSantis in Fort Myers and Naples, an area which has been hit hard by red tide. People were saying, well, the Republicans got to come out. They did. He came to Pensacola right after the hurricane to help rally Republicans in that deeply conservative area. You know, DeSantis ran on Trump's coattails. No ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Right.
And he was able to basically bring it home. You know, yes, the Democrats picked up two congressional seats. Yes, they picked up the Agriculture and Consumer Services Commissioner, Nikki Fried. But to me, Donald Trump, he may not be the big winner nationally, but he absolutely is a big winner here in Florida.
Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that if Adam Putnam had not come out strongly against the issue of fair tax, Would that have changed, do you believe, the Republican primary for governor?
Nah, I think it would have made it closer, but I don't think Putnam would have won. I think Putnam ran a very – he kind of ran a Rose Garden strategy, and it didn't work. I think he was kind of waiting in the wings, kind of like Bill McCollum did against Rick Scott in 2010, assuming that it would lead to a coronation. Look, and I love Tallahassee. I've moved there from Jacksonville. It's a great town. I met my wife there. We have a home there. Tallahassee is much like Washington, D.C. We have the Beltway in Washington. Well, we have Capitol Circle in Tallahassee. I'm just outside of it. And that's the thing. We have a Capitol Circle mentality. People in Tallahassee, you know, just like Washington's Beltway, we get so ingrained in the inside baseball stuff that we generally don't look outside it. And unfortunately, I think Bill McCollum did that in 2010. And I absolutely think Adam Putnam had that kind of mentality this time out.
What are people in Tallahassee saying with respect to Gwen Graham? What did she do wrong? Because she's the hometown girl, as well as Andrew Gillum was. And she was the favorite to become the nominee. And then Gillum pulled up way from behind, you know, passing even Philip Levine.
Yeah, they said there was absolutely no fire there. There was no one reason to vote for her. It wasn't a hostile vote. People the Democrats don't dislike Gwen Graham, but there was just very little reason. She didn't appeal to their heartstrings. Democrats like to fall in love. They don't always vote rationally in the primaries. Okay. They really don't. And that was the case with Graham. I will say she is very active. She's staying active in education and civic issues. I don't think Gwen Graham's done quite yet. I think she's going to try to keep her options open.
Okay, let's take a look at what's going on the roads this morning. 295 on the Beckman Bridge going toward Orange Park. We're looking at a broken down car, and as we kind of peek through all the fog this morning on the traffic cams, moderate backup there. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty has multiple 3 to 4 bedroom homes available for rent in the intercoastal area, many with community pools. A beautiful new 4 bedroom in Buccaneer Point, 4 bedroom with 3-car garage in Windsor Chase, 3 bedroom with 2nd floor bonus room in Johns Creek. Rent a 3,100 square foot gorgeous 4 bedroom in Old Mill Creek between Town Center and Tinseltown. For information on these and other rentals, call Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty, 241-5501 or HFR Jack. Tax.com.
Lots of fog this morning, and then clouds will roll in this afternoon. We are expecting around a 50-50 chance of rain today, our high 77. This evening, fog and a low of 63, currently 66 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost their final game of the season yesterday with just 5 wins and 11 losses. Quarterback Blake Bortles doesn't think the team will keep him next year. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And while the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has also issued an executive order temporarily refreezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect next week.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. My name's Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. I'm pinch hitting for my friend Ed today as we wrap up 2018, look ahead to 2019. I'm joined by Ron Davis, an attorney in the studio. And Ron, you know, one of the things we're looking at, of course, is a new governor. But we also have new positions in the cabinet, new agriculture commissioner Nikki Fried, and what I'm going to ask you about, a new attorney general in Ashley Moody. What do you think? She's taking over from Pam Bondi. What's your sense right now on Florida's next attorney general?
You know, she ran probably the best campaign during the election cycle.
Easily.
She is smart. She's young. I think that she's going to follow the Pam Bondi mold. She's a fantastic campaigner. So mm-hmm. I think going forward, she's in good spite. Good state. She's a judge. She has the legal experience, although the attorney general is really not from the judicial.
Right.
So it remains to be seen is does she have the executive qualities? She seems to be a leader. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I think she's going to probably follow the Pam Bondi mold. I think she's going to probably have some inroads to Pam, and I think she's going to probably play out to be pretty good here. The question is, and I haven't seen yet, is how does she surround herself?
It'll be interesting. And yeah, I think that there is a Bondi connection. They're both from the Tampa Bay area. Pam Bondi very quickly endorsed Ashley Moody over Jay Phan, some of the other candidates in that primary. I'm very curious to see where she goes, though. I'm curious to see where Bondi goes. I think Bondi could be, there's talk about maybe, to the Trump administration, that attorney general spot still open in the cabinet.
And that's where I see her, somewhere in the Trump administration.
You don't think she's going to be hitting the Fox News route or...
Well, she might do that to make some money, but I do. I think you'll see her. She seems to have a connection with Trump. He spent a lot of time with her.
Sure.
She's been a really big supporter of him, at least since his administration came on board. So I could see a place for her in the administration. I don't know necessarily as attorney general, although I think she's more than qualified based on what she's done in Florida.
Yeah, the one caveat I'd have is, remember, there is that brouhaha that came out. She did accept a donation from Trump right before she called off the investigation of Trump University from the state of Florida. That might be enough with Lindsey Graham, who, Graham's an interesting guy. Sometimes he'll play ball with Trump, other times not. Whether on judicial affairs, he will be holding that gavel on the Judiciary Committee. That's going to be interesting to see. One other senator I think we need to start talking about, since he's about to take his seat, is Mitt Romney. Where does Mitt Romney go? An interesting governor, an interesting presidential candidate, great leader for the Olympics, decent businessman, and now all of a sudden he's in the Senate. With the Never Trumpers are still out there in the Republican fold. The Weekly Standard may have shut down, but they're always talking about maybe Nikki Haley, maybe John Kasich. Now there's talk about Mitt Romney, and frankly, Romney seems to be... He's taken Orrin Hatch's spot, and he doesn't quite seem to be the ally of Trump that Hatch was. What do you see kind of Mitt Romney's role as he's going into Washington now?
You know, he's an interesting character in that sense. I don't see him playing a real big role. I think Romney has had his.
Go ahead.
No, Romney has had his time, mm-hmm. but I think he's going to be a very good and effective senator for his state.
My question is, back when he was governor of Massachusetts, he was known as being a more moderate, to even maybe, in some people's interpretation, left-leaning Republican. Now that he's representing Utah, of all places, is he going to go more conservative now?
Romney's been all over the place. Look, let's just be very candid. Mm-hmm. He was a very left-leaning governor of Massachusetts. He was even more left-leaning when he ran against Ted Kennedy in 94. All of a sudden, in 08, when you were looking at Giuliani and John McCain, Romney was the conservative of that presidential field in his first time out.
Yeah.
Then in 2012, he tried to claim the center. You had the Huckabee. Mitt Romney's kind of like, I hate saying this, but he's a Republican version of John Kerry. He's with things before he's against them.
Right.
And you know, where's he from? Michigan. That's where his dad was based. Utah, California. He's got a house there. Massachusetts.
Right.
He's been all over the place. I'm very curious to see where he goes now. Look, he does fit Utah well. You know, very devout Mormon, very connected to that community, which mm-hmm. remains important out there. You know, the Mormons, you hate saying this, there's always been a little pushback there against Trump. That was kind of some of the core of the anti-Trump stuff in 2016. Evan McMullen, of course, who conservative ran for third-party presidential bid. It comes from the Utah Mormon tradition. I'm very curious to see where Mitt Romney goes. My guess is he's going to make a little bit of noise, but not do much besides represent the state. I do think he has giant shoes to fill in Orrin Hatch's replacing Hatch.
I agree. Here's the question. Mitt Romney is only going to be as effective in terms of the national scale as his ability to criticize Trump. McCain was only relevant the last 8-9 years is because his willingness to attack Republicans. If Romney is willing to attack Republicans, or Trump in particular, the media will give him as much attention, and he will, I guess, have some elevated status in the media view. I just don't think that's what he wants. I think he's made up with Trump to some extent. He's mm-hmm. not going to agree with him on every single issue. He's not going to be the most staunch ally. But I think when push comes to shove, he's probably going to be counted on as a pretty solid Republican vote. I don't think we're going to hear much about Romney from this day forward unless he comes out and he's critical of Trump.
Yeah, I don't think Romney's going to primary Trump in 2020. I think that is just a fantasy.
I was going to ask that next when you bring that out, because 2 years out is usually when the people declare their presidential aspirations. Do you think Trump will face an in-party challenge in the primaries?
I do, actually. I don't think it'll be Romney, though.
Kasich?
Maybe Kasich. Look, the one area where they can do damage to Trump will be New Hampshire. You can have voters outside the major parties vote in the New Hampshire primary. And folks, every president who's lost a bid for re-election, Johnson in 68, Gerry Ford in 76, Carter in 80, mm-hmm. George Bush in 92, got whacked by a primary opponent in New Hampshire.
Right.
It is a different state. And unfortunately, people can register the day of and vote in the primary. If the Democrats go way too far to the left, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren showdown essentially in New Hampshire, I do think there's room for a lot of moderates in New Hampshire, low fiscal, fiscal conservatives, socially liberal, might vote for someone like Kasich against Trump. But that's still iffy. I think Trump's going to have the nomination without a problem.
All right. This is Talk Radio WBOB, the Ed Dean Radio Show. We're looking at a broken down truck on the Buckman Bridge going north toward Orange Park. No problems on I-10, 95 or Butler Boulevard.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forever Mark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forever Mark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forever Mark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forever Mark diamonds. And in fact, all of the companies in the Forever Mark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forever Mark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forever Mark network. And in fact, we were one of the first 5 in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forever Mark diamonds in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Pontevedra.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now. Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Riesch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Riesch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Riesch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Riesch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Riesch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Riesch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Morning fog and then afternoon clouds are expected. We're looking at about a 50-50 chance of rain today, 77 degrees the high. And tonight, fog expected with a low of 63, and right now, 66 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here in WBOB. This is Kevin Derby. I'm pinch hitting for Ed on the last day of the year. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. Joining me in the studio is attorney Ron Davis. We are going to be putting a bow, putting 2018 to bed, looking ahead to 2019. We hope you all have a great holiday, had a great new year. Better than the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are limping off as the playoffs begin, 5-11, searching for a new quarterback. And
Not officially just yet. You know, he says he doesn't think that he is going to be returning, but it's
point
not
taken.
Official. So, you know, and Shad Khan announced yesterday he's keeping Coughlin, he's keeping Malone, and he's keeping Caldwell. So,
yeah, keeping Dave Caldwell surprises me, I'll be honest. He's been here a number of years now. He is the one who put all the chips on Blake Bortles. We'll see where it goes. Look, but there's a lot of recent draft picks. Two of them not playing yesterday, T.J. Yeldon, Leonard Fournette. They certainly drew some controversy. We'll see where they go. 5-11, not what we expected after their great run last season.
And is it fair to blame the quarterback for everything if he doesn't have a good line, for example?
He doesn't have a good line. That offensive line is abysmal. So, anyways, we'll be talking about quite a few other issues looking ahead to 2018, looking ahead to 2019, and putting 2018 to wrap. This is WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump on Twitter making an argument for a border wall says the Obamas have built a 10-foot wall around their D.C. mansion. Mr. Trump writes, "I agree, totally necessary for their safety and security. The U.S. needs the same thing, slightly larger version." A top Republican senator, South Carolina's Lindsey Graham, says he believes the president is slowing down the U.S. troop pullout from Syria. And Graham says that's a good idea. He had lunch the other day with the president at the White House. The victim of a fatal lion attack at a wildlife conservatory in North Carolina has been identified as a 22-year-old grad student from Indiana. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures sharply higher. Dow futures up 209 points. S&P features better by 19. More details at srnnews.com.
Lots of fog this morning, but also a lot of cars on the roads, and we don't currently see any accidents in our area to let you know about. We're expecting the fog to lift and then cloudy conditions to roll in and a 50-50 chance of rain. Our high 77. This evening foggy with a low of 63. Currently it is 66 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is at $1.92 a gallon. And Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbov.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. I'm hosting for Ed Dean. This is the Ed Dean Show on WBOB. 15 and a half hours left in 2018, then ahead to 2019. I'm joined by attorney Ron Davis here in the studio. And look, this is the calm before the storm, folks. You know, the holidays, kind of the news kind of slows down a little bit, but we're not getting much of a break here. I think we're about to see things burst on the scene, national scene and the state scene. We have a new governor going to be taking office in Ron DeSantis January 8th when he starts his term. We have the new Congress ready to convene this week. Democrats taking control of the U.S. House in the November elections. It's going to be an interesting year. A lot of key positions, Attorney General, Secretary of Defense, White House Chief of Staff, those positions are vacant in the Trump administration. Ron, this is the calm before the storm, and that's not even mentioning the 2020 presidential race. But we're already off and running in Iowa, New Hampshire.
In fact, and we're already getting alerts right now that Elizabeth Warren has announced that she's, what are they calling it, exploratory committee for president now?
Elizabeth Warren, huh?
I hate to sound like one of those those Trump videos where they were making fun of Trump running, but please. Please run Elizabeth Warren.
If I am Donald Trump, I absolutely want Elizabeth Warren, even more so than Bernie Sanders. I think she is going to be falling into the same trap as Hillary Clinton. I think those blue-collar, John Murtha, Connor Lamb Democrats in Pennsylvania who may have voted for Trump in 2016, voted for the Democrats in 2018, they would absolutely go back to Trump in 2020 if Elizabeth Warren's the Democratic nominee.
Or just sit out.
Or just sit out. They could go fishing. It's always a good time to go fishing in November.
I don't think she's going to draw a whole. She's already got the votes she's going to get.
Yeah,
She's not going to draw. I don't see middle America in any way, shape, or form warming up to her.
No, she has. I think a very difficult path to the nomination in many ways.
Do you need middle America though? You do need it.
Yeah, I absolutely think you need
80% of the country lives in the big cities though.
That's true, but. You know, I think a state like Pennsylvania, yes, you have Pittsburgh, yes, you have Philadelphia in the 610 suburbs there, Philadelphia. I think you need middle America to win it. I think you need middle America to win Michigan. I think you need it in Wisconsin. You absolutely need it here in Florida.
You need it in Ohio.
You need it in Ohio. But mm-hmm. I think Ohio, look, I know Sherrod Brown won big in November for the Democrats in Ohio. I think the Mike DeWine to me is the unsung hero for Republicans in November. If DeWine had lost that governorship, then folks, Ohio would, you know, that's a state Republicans cannot afford to lose. Right. Never have been able to win without Ohio. That DeWine holding that governor's mansion was big. And I think Trump will start there and in Florida with a slight edge. There's still going to be battlegrounds. But I think the Democrats need to focus Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And frankly, I don't think Elizabeth Warren can carry those states. I don't think she can.
No, not Elizabeth Warren.
No, absolutely.
You know, and I'm looking at the field that we've seen mm-hmm. so far, and I do not see a strong, in terms of the primary, a strong Democratic candidate, someone that you can go in and say, this person is clearly the front runner.
Yeah, you have a point there. But you know what? A lot of people run, I've seen, for president, not because they have any expectations of being elected, but they just want to increase their stature
absolutely.
On the national level and add that line to their resume. For example, I can't believe in a million years Al Sharpton actually thought he would become president of the United States of America one day.
No, but Al Sharpton helped move the Democratic field a little bit to the left when he ran in 2004. I'd say Jesse Jackson did the same thing in 84
and 88. I don't think the Obama camp thought they had really any serious chance when they first started to run against Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. He was a two-year senator. I think it was in preparation of.
Right.
It's just I think Hillary made. And I may be wrong here, but I think Hillary made the huge mistake that year, or in that campaign, in shutting down the media.
Yeah, and Hillary.
Look, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is she shut down the media. You know, it was a foregone conclusion in her mind, I think most of America, that she was going to be the Democratic candidate.
Okay.
So the media came in, and as Hillary always does, it's pre-questions. I'm only going to answer what I already know that the question is.
I see.
And I think the media got irritated. I think the media was like, we got your back. Don't treat us like this. And I think they kind of slapped her around a little bit and started giving favorable coverage to Obama.
Hmm.
Then I think what turned out, they're like, wait a minute. We identify more with him than we do with her. And I think that's what backfired with her. I think if she'd been more open with the media earlier, she probably would have sailed through. But
she actually got more votes than Obama in the primary, but they didn't count Michigan.
Well, the Democrats have a very weird primary process, how they allocate delegates. And that's something to keep in mind. Look, the primary process, Democrats, they will often pull the rug out from frontrunners. We saw it with Hillary in 08. Ed Muskie confirmed that in 72. It's why Mario Cuomo was never the Democratic presidential nominee. They kept saying, well, this will be Cuomo's spot in 88. Oh, it's not Gary Hart. It's going to be Dukakis. Oh, okay. 92, nobody saw Bill Clinton coming. I mean, it was a very weak field. Everyone thought George Bush was going to have a second term.
Thank you, Ross Perot.
Yeah, well, Bob Kerry and Tom Harkin kind of fell flat. I mean, let's be honest. Bill Clinton beat Paul Zongas, a guy who'd kind of out of the mainstream of the Democratic Party, a guy who was actually a very good fiscal conservative on a lot of issues, and Jerry Brown, who was the once and future governor of California there. It was a very strange nomination. I do think there's room for somebody like Beto O'Rourke to go to Iowa to work the farmers, to kind of be nice, Midwest nice. It certainly worked for Jimmy Carter. It worked for Obama. It absolutely worked for Mike Huckabee when he beat Mitt Romney there a few years ago. I think there's room for somebody like that, and I don't know who that is. It's not Warren. It's not Sanders. Could it be Biden? Maybe. I don't know if he's going to get his hands dirty. I do think there's room for someone, a dark horse, to emerge, though, in Iowa. Could it be Beto O'Rourke? Could it be John Delaney? Could it be Kamala Harris? I don't know. John Delaney. He's a congressman from Maryland. Not our one.
I think of the former Jacksonville mayor.
Not the former Jacksonville mayor.
He's leaving UNF.
Kamala Harris is an interesting. I think she's another one that the middle America is going to have a hard time warming up. Just if you go by her Kavanaugh hearing, but I understand she can be a warm, open person, and she's one that she's smart.
She's very smart,
and she's ruthless.
Absolutely.
And so I think she's one that we need to keep an eye on.
Here's another one I'm going to throw out there. She kind of had a little bit of a moment with the Kavanaugh hearing. Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, she definitely fits the Midwest nice model. Very tough on crime as attorney general of Minnesota. She's not quite, I think, the you can't just go liberal against her. I think she's going to have to work for that one. It'd be a dark horse to be sure. Another one, John Hickenlooper, governor of Colorado, ex-governor, and a very interesting guy, a very good retail campaigner. We have seen dark horses just come out of nowhere in the Democratic primary. Could it happen this time out? Yeah, it's possible. I don't see – Joe Biden's run twice before, never really impressed, never got to New Hampshire either of those times. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren seem to be kind of killing each other right now. They kind of hold the same ground. There's room for somebody, and I'll be curious to see who it is. I don't see Elizabeth Warren, though, in the White House. I don't see her winning.
Hillary Clinton, do you think the career's up for her?
I think the career's over. I think she's going to try to throw her name out there. But look, she's doing a tour right now with Bill, and frankly, they aren't filling up the seats the way they thought they would. Hmm. Hillary Clinton's time has come and gone.
And on the Democratic field, I think there's some good ones that would probably run. But in this primary, if Elizabeth Warren is one of the candidates that's declared herself early, and then you have an O'Rourke, you got two people that clearly have no problems going negative and going negative hard.
Right.
So then you got to survive this primary process with it's not going to be anything but negative. Then you got to face Trump. And Trump is not somebody that's going to hold back. So there's going to be some good people that really I don't think are going to have the stomach to go through and ultimately want to go face Trump if they survive the primary.
Running mates typically don't, you know, have an outcome on that big of an impact on the election. But I believe if they get someone who is untainted, maybe during the primary season, to be the running mate and let them be more of the public face of the campaign, do you think that could help with the negative campaigning?
Possibly. I think the Democrats need a candidate, a running mate, who can nail down a state, a key state. I don't think Tim Kaine did that. I think Virginia, to be very candid with you, I know we like to think it's a swing state. It's not, folks. There have been so many, the growth of federal government in recent years, we've seen more federal employees hit Virginia since, I don't know, 1862 when George McClellan, the Army of the Potomac, showed up at the door of Richmond. That is what we're kind of growth we're seeing in Northern Virginia. It has absolutely taken what had been a pretty reliable Republican state, part of the Reagan coalition, and really moved it out.
And he didn't run as a statesman.
No,
Pence,
he didn't.
Pence ran as a statesman. Pence was the perfect vice presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared statesman. Kaine, by the end of that, he didn't appear of statesman at all.
It was a bad pick. It was absolutely a bad pick.
A lot of people believe it was an attempt by the Democrats to have someone who was more establishment running with someone who represented the more up-and-coming progressives.
Yeah, it was a
And will they try that again, you know, with maybe, oh, gosh, you know, Cortez is probably too young, isn't she?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's too young. Cory Booker's a possibility, okay. I think, New Jersey, African-American. I think he's a lightweight. I don't think he'd be able to do it.
No, you don't think Gillum's going to be on the ticket?
No, I don't think Gillum's going to be on the ticket. I do think Gillum's going to enjoy the national limelight and weigh his opportunities. And look, we have redistricting coming up soon. There's enough votes in Tallahassee. I mean, look, if Al Lawson retired, I think Andrew Gillum would be a front runner for that seat. I think there's an opportunity for Andrew Gillum to stay active in state politics the way Jeb Bush did after his gubernatorial loss in 94. I don't see that as a presidential thing. I do think he's enjoying the national limelight, getting exposure, but I don't see Andrew Gillum running for president in 2020.
Okay, or the VP pick.
Or the VP pick.
All right, here's what's going on in the roads. If you are at the 295 southbound Beach Boulevard exit, you'll notice a broken down car, and 295 north through Pritchard Road, there's another car there having engine trouble.
Jennifer Candelino for Snyder Air Conditioning. Should you repair or replace your air conditioning system? It's a question that our customers ask us every day. So Snyderman has put together a short quiz to help you make your own decision. Just log on to SnyderAC.com, take the short quiz, and decide for yourself. Repair or replace? Your answer will become very clear. And our repair or replace quiz is easy. Simply log on to SnyderAC.com and answer the 5 short questions. There's a reason that Snyder Air Conditioning has been Jacksonville's leading air conditioning company for over 40 years, with the highest quality products and only honest and reliable workmanship. Every Snyder technician has been certified and professionally trained and committed to 100% customer satisfaction. At Snyder, they know you expect your comfort needs to be fixed right the first time. So log on to SnyderAC.com today and take the short quiz, repair or replace. Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 1813307.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, January 5th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, January 5th at 6 p.m., it's the Hall of Heroes Mini Comic-Con at Mosh at the Museum of Science and History. And Sunday, January 6th at 10 a.m., it's the Orange Park Farmers and Art Market at the Town Hall Park on Park Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hey, this is Anita Hiles with Rapid Fire Real Estate, and I have some fantastic news. Effective January 2019, we are moving to prime time. That's right, we will be live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I will be ready for your commute home. So you want to tune in, because we will still bring you the latest trends in Jacksonville and keep you updated on what's happening around the area. Each week, we'll have different professionals, whether it be a lawyer, a lender, or anyone in between. Rapid Fire Real Estate, live every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
The first thing you're going to have to learn is that until you stop expecting our politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person going to change your life is you, but you need to know how.
Want to learn how? Meet Del Walmsley's Lifestyles Unlimited team and get your map to retirement in 5 years or less. Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4 at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
A foggy start to our day. Clouds expected this afternoon with a 50-50 chance of rain. Our high 77 today. This evening, fog expected with a low of 63, and currently it is 66 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. And the Jacksonville Jaguars lost their final game of the season yesterday. With just 5 wins and 11 losses for the season, quarterback Blake Bortles doesn't think the team will keep him next year.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB in Jacksonville. My name's Kevin Derby. I am pinch hitting for Ed. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. In the studio with me, attorney Ron Davis. We're looking ahead to 2019, wrapping up 2018. One of the more interesting developments in Florida politics this past year was Amendment 4, expanding convicted felons' right to vote. That passed. 65% of the Florida voters agreed to it. 35% said no. It's part of the law. Incoming Governor Ron DeSantis has said in no uncertain terms, the legislature needs to implement this. They need to figure out how to do this. Ron, you're an attorney. How do you see Amendment 4 going down, so to speak, in Tallahassee in the days to come?
You know, one of my problems with it is so vague. What does it mean? And I don't know. I think they're going to run into some legislative and legal issues when they try to implement it.
Such as what? You know, because a lot of people are thinking, you know, someone needs to do a better job of explaining why there needs to be a delay, because it's going to keep a lot of people from voting in the municipal elections in the state of Florida coming up, because they won't be able to register in time.
You know, I hate to say it, but I don't really think it's going to keep that many people from voting, because I don't think that group is going to vote anyway. They're not civically minded to stay out of jail. I don't think they're going to be civically minded to go out and vote. And I don't think that this is going to end up being a boon for the Democrats. I think you may see some backpedaling from the Democrats in a few years when you actually start seeing a lot of rural convicted felons that got convicted of fish and wildlife crimes and things like that that are going to go out and vote Republican more likely than not. So I think that may actually backfire. What I'm talking about is the implementation. What does this mean? They're saying if you're violent crimes, murder, sex offender, things like that, this doesn't apply to you.
Okay.
So it applies to others. So if you get out of jail and the very next time you get a felony conviction, does that mean as soon as you serve your time, you can go to vote? How does one keep track of who's suspended and who's not? Because really then what we're talking about is a suspension of your voting privileges until your criminal is done. You're going to see, I think, exceptions carved in for this crime and that crime as this crime does this. It's going to be a nightmare.
And then the courts will have to decide and rule on various things.
Another reason why this should not have been a constitutional amendment. It's a legislative issue.
So it's not as cut and dry as, you know, someone moving here from Texas.
But I don't know. I don't know if it is or isn't. The amendment seems cut and dry that if you get a felony conviction, you serve your penalty, you're done. You get your voting rights restored. You don't have, and I don't know, are they going to do some quasi process that they currently have now where you apply, FDLE looks at it and says, I mean, there's going to have to be some form of paperwork to confirm it. But again, how do the voter polls or voter rolls, right now, there's no cross-reference with your criminal record. I mean, you can go in and say, I'm so-and-so and vote. And you don't find out until, you know, afterwards, what I think has been one of the criticisms up to this point. But therein is going to be the problem, is it seems like it's pretty straightforward, But how does it end? When does it begin? Those are the problems that I see.
And I think the guy who's going to be at the center of it is going to be Mike Ertel. He's the Seminole County Supervisor of Elections. Ron DeSantis just named him Florida's Secretary of State. Elections are his background. That's his forte. He's been there well over a decade. I think he's been in won three or four times re-election. He's going to be the guy at the center. And let's throw in one more complication. Jacksonville's own, actually Amelia Island's own, but he represents a large part of Jacksonville, State Senator Aaron Bean just threw out a proposal. Let's make the Secretary of State an elected position again. He's calling about making that an elected position, which we used to have. It was changed on the most recent, about 20 years ago. Now that's a possibility. It means, sure, that whatever happens on the statewide level on elections, you could see a little more accountability to voters. So there's a lot of moving parts here. It absolutely is going to be one of the more interesting issues, I think, that Tallahassee's going to see when the legislature meets in early March. I really do.
Ron, how soon do you think convicted felons who have their voting rights restored will be actually able to vote in elections? How far from now?
You know, I think it's in effect now. Okay. I don't know for certain. I haven't looked at that, but the amendment passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constitutional amendment. So I don't think there's legally any bar. There's just no election right now.
Okay.
I mean, I think they've got a few months before what March is our elections.
The first round, yeah.
Our first round. So I think they have 3 or 4 months to try to work this out. But as I understand, and I'd have to do a little bit of research in that to confirm it, it's a constitutional amendment. It's passed. So, you know, they have that right now. It's just being able to exercise it.
And look, let's be very candid. I can absolutely see a federal activist judge getting involved here. You know, we can absolutely see that happening if this doesn't go the way people want. This is going to be an interesting issue. And look, the one thing I always tell people in the legislature is you're never smarter than the voters. The voters don't like that. We saw that with Amendment 2. We were talking about Matt Caldwell going down earlier with Nikki Haley. I'm sorry, Nikki Fried. You know, that is a concern. 65% of Florida voters wanted Amendment 2 for whatever reason. And because of it, they expect action, so to speak. They really will. So we'll see what happens. Absolutely.
Okay. That may be a big item, you know, that we hear talked about in 2019.
I think it will be. I absolutely think it will be.
I think there's going to be a lot of legal challenges because, you know, what prohibits domestic violence from being a crime of violence or something that prohibits you from voting? I mean, I think that we're going to run into all kinds of interpretation problems in terms of implementing it. And then again, I mean, you got a 5-time, 7-time, 8-time convicted felon. If I'm reading the amendment correctly, 7-time convicted felon, as soon as he gets done with prison or jail or whatever, gets out, boom, I'm able to vote. I just think that logistically creates a huge nightmare when you don't have two agencies communicating with each other to find out, you know, are you really done with your probation?
So the supervisors of elections offices, Secretary of State's office, they've got a list of the convicted felons in Florida?
They don't share that.
They don't share it. That's going to be interesting to see how they have transmit that kind of information. And yeah, there are a lot of moving parts here. Mm-hmm. A lot of different agencies.
When you vote, you sign, you're signing that you meet the qualifications. You're under oath of a voter who's eligible to vote.
And I would imagine the same thing would be true if someone had been a convicted felon in another state and moved here prior to the passage of Amendment 4. They probably couldn't vote in Florida, right? Am I correct?
I think they would be able to.
Now they can, but prior to the passage.
Why? I think they could apply for whatever they're going to apply for. I think they have to apply to their state to relieve themselves of their felony.
Okay.
But here, I don't think they could apply to Florida and say, I want to expunge my record. I want to have my voting rights restored. I think they'd have to go to their state, resolve the felony issue on that end, and then come back to Florida.
Interesting.
It's going to be an interesting issue. I think that and education will be the two chief issues when the new legislature convenes in March. So it has a formal session. We'll have committee weeks, of course, before then. So interesting times, as always, in Florida. And we have a new governor, a new attorney general, a new agriculture commissioner. That's going to be interesting. Look, will Republicans try to say, we all know Nikki Fried. I keep doing that. Second time I've done that today.
It's okay.
You know, Nikki Fried is a strong supporter of gun control. Will they try to move gun responsibilities out of the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to another department? Will they be able to get that through the legislature? I think it could go through the House easily. I don't know about the Senate. That's going to be an interesting issue. There are a lot of moving parts here. I think this is going to be an interesting area. And for once, I hate saying this, the economy is probably not going to be front and center in Tallahassee this year. We will see.
295 going south at Beach Boulevard. There's a broken down car. You'll see it on the right. No other accidents or broken down cars to report to you at this time.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
What will 2019 bring? Only God knows. I doubt many people could have predicted all the events of 2018 a year ago. Probably no one could. Are you looking to government to improve your life or the lives of others? Here's some solid advice from an ancient leader. When he was king over Israel, David wrote this psalm. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. That's from Psalm 146. Look it up. It's good advice anytime, and especially as we enter a new year. Yes, we're to pray for our leaders, from the president on down, but don't put your ultimate trust and faith in them. They're a distraction from God and His plans for the world and our place in it. All of their plans end in dust. Only the kingdom of God endures forever. And with that, I wish you a happy, prosperous, safe, and blessed new year. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
If you talk and they will hear you every single time.
Now we're getting killed.
Yeah, well, Kyle's not here.
How come?
Kicked off the team. Didn't Tim tell you? Kyle and some other kids got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Come on, it's a first offense, right?
That we know of. But why should that matter? He knew not to drink. I've made it clear to Matt that's what we expect from him. What have you said to Tim?
Nothing really. You know, a lot of kids try it at this age, so.
Yeah, well, a lot of kids don't try it too. I'm not saying that Matt's gonna be this perfect kid, but if I don't tell him what we expect and why he shouldn't drink, how's he gonna know?
You think kids that age really listen?
They never admit it, Bill, but they hear more than you think.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with kids about underage drinking, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The fog is expected to dissipate, and then we'll have cloudy conditions and a 50-50 chance of rain today. 77 the high, this evening's low 63, and currently 66 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show. Thank you for joining us each and every day. We're lucky and blessed to have you. This is Kevin Derby. I am the editor of Florida Daily. I want to thank attorney Ron Davis, who has been my tag team partner in the studio. Ron, above and beyond. Just a thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, of course, the always great Roger manning the board. Terrific job today, as he does throughout the year.
Thank you.
Just thank you for everything. I appreciate you being the quarterback here. Certainly better than Blake Bortles. Wish all of you a happy